Welcome to the Inspired Wealth Podcast, where we'll do just that, inspire wealth in as many people as possible. I'm your host, Alan Rode, Certified Financial Planner Pro, Registered Life Planner, and the founder and CEO of Modern Wealth. We'll be talking all things financial planning, or as I like to call it, financial life planning. Financial life planning is about living each day to its fullest, while also planning for the important things of tomorrow. Today's podcast is Stock Options, an Owner's Manual. Now, whether you're at a pre-IPO startup, a growing public company, or a blue chip that just developed a life-saving vaccine, stock options can provide a boost to your current and long-term wealth. The concept is relatively straightforward, but like everything else, the devil is in the details. Maximizing your profit is just one side of the equation. Taxes are also a consideration, and the rules are complex. This short podcast will arm you with enough info to get you started on sorting out your situation. When it comes to stock options, start with the basics. When you receive stock options, the company doesn't hand you shares of stock right away. Instead, you receive the right to purchase shares of company stock at a certain price, and in most instances, below market value. Hopefully, the share's price will rise over time, enabling you to sell them at a higher price than when you exercise the option. When you exercise your stock options, you can purchase shares of your employer's common stock at the price indicated in your option grant. The spread is the difference in value between the strike price and the share's value when you exercise your options. However, you're not obligated to exercise your options. Before you can exercise the options or purchase the shares, the stock must first vest, meaning you have to work for the company for a certain amount of time to obtain those shares. In some instances, you may be able to exercise your options early, i.e. before they vest. That move can have tax advantages, but there are downsides as well. You may be prohibited from selling shares of your stock to purchase the vested shares, so you'll have to shell out your own money. Stock options can be the more common non-qualified stock options, referred to as NQSOs, or incentive stock options, referred to as ISOs, which provide tax benefits but also can trigger the complications of alternative minimum tax, or AMT. For example, incentive stock options enable employees to convert part or all potential stock earnings into capital gains if they hold on to the stock for a certain period. So, here are some key questions to think about. How do I exercise my stock options? Exercising stock options means buying shares of your employer's common stock at the price specified in your option grant. Your company may have an agreement with a brokerage company to execute these stock purchases. Once you own actual shares, you don't have to sell them immediately. You're also not required to exercise your options. How much time do I have? If your company does not offer early exercising, you can only exercise options once they are vested, which varies from company to company. What should I consider when deciding whether to exercise? First, are the options in the money or underwater? If they're underwater, trading below your exercise price, it may be prudent to wait for your stock price to rise. Second, is your company public? If your company is private and doesn't have plans for filing an IPO in the near term, exercising your options may be risky because you're purchasing shares that may not be liquid. If your company has not yet launched an IPO, you must purchase shares in cash. Third, will you have to pay taxes? Depending on your situation, like what kind of options you have, the number you were granted, and your compensation, etc., you may have to pay taxes when you exercise. When should I sell my shares? After exercising your options, you may want to consult with a financial advisor and a tax advisor to discuss your most advantageous and profitable manner to sell your stocks. The type of options you have and your holding period after exercising your options will significantly impact your tax liability. So first, we have non-qualified stock options, which are NQSOs. NQSOs are the most common type of stock options. Now, most companies, they typically choose to hand out non-qualified stock options to employees like yourself for tax reasons because they can deduct the cost of NQSOs as an operating expense sooner than with other options. Also, unexercised NQSOs can be passed on to others, i.e. in divorce or as gifts. In addition, the IRS does not limit the total number of value of NQSOs that a company can grant to an employee. If you make money when you exercise your shares, i.e. the strike price is lower than current market value, this is considered ordinary income and will be reported on your IRS Form W-2 for the year you exercise the options. Once you receive the shares, you have the choice of either selling them or holding on to them. At this point, they're like any other stock investment and will be subject to capital gains tax. Now let's talk about incentive stock options, or ISOs. Now there's a limit on the total value of ISOs that can vest and can be exercised in any calendar year, which is 100,000, and you cannot transfer them to other people like NQSOs. Taxation can be more advantageous if a strict schedule is adhered to. You'll need to hold on to the shares for a minimum of 2 years from the grant date and 1 year from the exercise date to qualify for long-term capital gains. If your company is pre-IPO, this can take some careful planning to keep lockup periods in mind. ISOs can also be subject to alternative minimum tax, which is higher than normal taxes. The AMT is adjusted based on the price you pay for the shares, which is the strike price, and the fair market value when you exercise. Because you can choose when to exercise, you do have some flexibility in avoiding or minimizing AMT, but it requires careful planning of your income. A financial advisor or tax professional can usually help you model out various scenarios to select the right one for your situation. So, in conclusion, stock options aren't quite the holy grail of wealth, but the process of effectively including them in your wealth plan can seem as arduous as a quest. Having a trusted financial and tax advisor can make the journey much safer. That's all for this episode. Remember, financial life planning is about living each day to its fullest while making smart financial decisions to plan for tomorrow. See you all next time. And remember, don't forget to live wealthy.